Moncrief on News Talk.
First, though, listen, kids. There was a time in this country where you couldn't get a drink whenever you liked, and in the most beautifully Irish way. Holy Hour was an hour, but despite the name, had nothing to do with the church. It only applied to Dublin and Cork, except on Sundays, when it was 2 hours, and the whole country observed it. As a younger man, Mick Clifford of the Irish Examiner often stood outside the pub, openly weeping when he realised it was 3 o'clock. Good afternoon, Mick.
Good afternoon, John. I don't know what I got that far, but it's an arresting image anyway. Put it down
there. It is. Who brought it in and why?
Yeah, you two elements to this, Sean. One was the holy hour, as you said, for the cities, which was 2:30 till 3:30. And the second was the Sunday opening, which was very strict limits on a Sunday. Pubs could open at 12:30. They stayed open till 2:00. They closed then till 4:00. And crucially, unlike during the other 6 days of the week, they closed at 10:00. That evening. Now, the early closing in the evening, there was a general consensus that that was brought in to ensure that people would go home early enough that they'd get up for work the next morning. But in terms of the holy hour, that was a separate thing, yeah. That was brought in by Kevin O'Higgins. And it applied initially to the cities in the state, bar, for some reason, Galway. It applied to Dublin, Cork, Waterford and Limerick. And Mr. O'Higgins came to the conclusion that something was required on that basis, that he spoke later when he would be coming home from the Dáil in the middle of the day. He might have a sandwich or something, the pub, I presume it was a sandwich. They might have been serving them back in the 1920s. And he noticed that a lot of people were coming in there, particularly from work and that, rather than going home. And he came to the conclusion that the people of the cities would be better served if there was an hour between 2:30 and 3:30 when the pubs would close. Presumably, those who might be in there early would go home for an hour and see what happens after that. In 1962, Limerick and Waterford opted out of it. And then you just had it with Dublin and Cork.
How did Waterford and Limerick manage to opt out of it?
I think it was such that it probably came in under bylaws for the cities. So they were able to do it off their own steam. I don't think Dublin and Cork wanted to opt out of it at that stage. Some people would have been in favour of it. For instance, the barmen's union, for one, it gave their workers a break for an hour. And you also had the scenario whereby seasoned drinkers, they considered it something of a challenge. They kind of liked it to see what pubs they might visit prior to 2:30 in order that they might have some bit of a lock-in for that fateful hour when they could be turfed out on the street.
Right. God, mother of God. And did it apply? Now, you'll remember this too. You know the way in a Good Friday when the pubs used to be closed, you could go to a train station or an airport and they'd be absolutely rammed. Did the holy hour apply there as well?
I think it only applied to pubs.
Yeah.
But then the type of people, I would suggest, who would be drinking that early inside in the pub, they might find it offensive or completely off to go drinking in somewhere like a train station or an airport. There was a particular attachment to the concept of the pub.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So Waterford and Limerick then opted out of it. And then was there a gradual erosion of the holy hour?
There was all sorts of mumblings at various stages thereafter in Dublin and Cork. And, there was talk, for instance, that it affected tourism, that people arrive from USA in particular, but also the UK, a big tourist population. And, they probably had a different culture of drinking. So they might decide on their holidays to go for a drink in the middle of the day and then find out at 2:30 they have to get out of the place. That was one of the reasons that was suggested they should end it. But one way or the other, the Licensed Vintners Association, which was for the Dublin-based publicans, they had a meeting over it and a vote to decide whether to abolish it in March 1984. And that vote passed. It was a close-run thing. It's only 60% were in favour and 40% were still against, which is interesting, I think. And they also got the backing of their colleagues in Cork, even though they were joined to the rural vintners branch. So it was decided following that in 1984 that the poor holy hour would be done away with. I suppose it should be noted, Brendan Behan, who was a man who was known to go into pubs, Sean.
Yes.
He always had a comment about the man who brought in the holy hour, Kevin O'Higgins. He said, the man who brought in the holy hour, they shot him. Now, you know, quite obviously there's no connection between the two of those, but yeah. being the man he decided he'd make one.
Yes. And the fact that the vintners had voted, that didn't necessarily do for us. The local authorities in Cork and Dublin take
they're separate. The holy hour, Monday to Saturday in the cities, was very separate from the Sunday closing, which was nationally. So the holy hour was done away with in the 80s, but the 2 to 4 closing on a Sunday, I think it was around 1999, that was finally done away with. And that, because it was national for one reason, and also, I suppose, look, people who are inclined for a drink, Sunday would be an obvious day to do it. And, but again, some people would say we were living in a theocracy for a long time and these matters had to be observed in the name of the church or whatever. But that 2 to 4 closing on a Sunday could be a painful experience for people, particularly if they've been out Saturday night and they wanted to continue going or whatever. But that, unless you knew somewhere, and particularly you'd have to be a local, I'd suggest generally, that was observed pretty much all right, and so people would have to be out. And where it wasn't observed, there was the odd raid that would end up in the district court, but nowhere near the amount of times where people lock-ins at night and that sort of thing were. But that Sunday thing, it's interesting, like 12:30 till 2, you couldn't open before 12:30, you had to close at 2. I don't know, was that designed that people might have time for 2, possibly 3 pints after Mass? And then you're out and go home for the Sunday dinner or whatever, and they opened again at 4.
Yeah, and when it was ended for the whole country on the Sunday, what was the mechanism by which they stopped doing it?
I'm not sure the specifics, but the way it would normally be done is just that the minister would sign a ministerial order that would apply to the licensing laws, and then that would be brought in, and literally they left the thing open then thereafter, and they treated it like any other day. You know, I suppose 1999 was around the time the country was opening up in various ways, and this was seen as a relic from the past, and that it was something, again, that had been an element of tourism involved in it, but it was seen as something that basically its day had come.
Yeah, isn't it? 1999, that doesn't feel not too long ago, really.
No, not at all, and I very much remember it. I mean, that whole 2 to 4 closing was, when I was in my 20s, anyway, it was one of those things that sometimes word would go around if there was any particular place that might let you slip in or whatever. But that would always have been a challenge for people who wanted to continue. I mean, there was a huge element to this too, Sean, in that, you know, the it was viewed that basically the people could not be trusted, that there had to be some limits put on their access to alcohol. And we had that not so long ago. And, you know, there's an argument there may well have been a good reason for that in a lot of instances, but it was certainly kind of what people today would call the nanny state. I think that was very much in operation in relation to these kind of measures.
Yeah. And did the church ever have anything to say about it one way or the other?
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, like, we called the holy hour, the 2:30 to 3:30 during the week, that was called the holy hour, but it really had nothing to do with the church per se. You know, maybe it was, or maybe some wag came to the conclusion that hour was a break wherein people left the pub and they went to pray for an hour. Whether that came to be or not, I don't know, but it was kind of colloquially known as the holy hour, but not officially. The Sunday closing, I'm not sure whether the church had anything to say on that. But, I mean, remember, we're talking the late 90s, the church and their status in society wasn't in great nick at that point, and they may have decided to pick their battles.
Yeah, though certainly up before that time, the local priest might have plenty to say about pub opening hours and that kind of thing. I do remember a certain village in East Galway, which shall remain nameless, but was notorious for being fast and loose with the opening hours, and a priest standing up in the pulpit and saying you could leave Dublin at closing time and still get a drink there when you arrived, and that would be several hours later.
I'd say the village in East Galway was not unique in that respect, Sean.
Indeed not. Mick, lovely to talk to you. Thanks for doing so. That was Mick Clifford there from the Irish Examiner.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.